Okay, you wake up at night, you look at the clock and notice that it's 11:11. This happens again the next night and the next, and you think it's a coincidence, don't you? But what if it were happening to millions of others all over the world? Just one of the things we'll talk with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman about, 11:11, the time prompt phenomenon. Let me introduce two people to you. Marie Jones, a metaphysics minister with an extensive background in spiritual studies and the paranormal. She spent 15 years as a field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network in Los Angeles and San Diego, wrote for many paranormal magazines as well, and currently serves as a consultant to the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team. She's the co-author of 11:11, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities, with Larry Flaxman, her partner in paraexplorers.com. Here's Marie Jones. Hi, Marie. Welcome back to Coast to Coast.
Hi. Good to talk to you again. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. And Larry Flaxman, of course, has been actively involved in paranormal research and hands-on field investigating for more than 12 years, and he melds his technical, scientific, and investigative backgrounds together for truly a no-nonsense, scientifically objective explanation regarding the variety of phenomena. He's the president and senior researcher of the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies team and of paraexplorers.com, devoted to the exploration of ancient and modern unknown mysteries. Here he is, Larry Flaxman. Larry, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. They think they might have found Atlantis today, but they're just not quite sure.
No. They say that every day.
Yeah, it's 620 miles off the coast of Africa, and somebody spotted it on Google Ocean.
Oh, how funny.
And I guess we have to go down there, though.
Maybe. Yeah, oh, yeah. We need to get an expedition together.
Hey, tell me about paraexplorers.com.
Well, it actually is sort of an offshoot of work that Larry was doing with his organization, Our Past. But the two of us got together and decided to partner, and we wanted to do things other than just straight paranormal. You know, when people think of paranormal, they think of ghosts and UFOs and cryptozoology. There's sort of a real, or ESP, there's like a limited branch of things that fall under paranormal. We wanted to sort of go outside the box and write some books and do some exploration that involved things other than that, other unknown mysteries and cutting-edge science and all kinds of strange, anomalous things.
There's so many things happening on this planet, Marie.
There are.
It's exciting. It's an exciting time right now.
It's scary, but yeah, it's also very exciting. I'm a child of the 60s, and I thought that was a great time, but things are really getting interesting.
Larry, what fuels you in this field? What keeps you going?
You know, I think I've really always had an interest in the unknown, whether it be, you know, UFOs, ghosts, cryptozoology. I've really always had an interest in things that are unexplainable. So I think that's really what keeps me going. There's so many unexplained phenomena that's out there. There's so many questions that I have that are just waiting to be answered. That really is my motivation to continue.
You two have touched a nerve for me with this 11:11 work, the time prompt phenomenon. I have seen this series of numbers now for years.
Mm-hmm.
They went away for a while, Marie and Larry, and now they seem to be coming back again, which I find to be strange and unusual. Tell me a little bit. First of all, this subtitle of the book, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, what does that mean?
Well, you know, we were approached from my publisher, actually, New Page Books, with this idea. And we both had heard about time prompts and people that see the same time over and over again every time they look at a clock. But we really didn't know that much about it. We started doing research, and we were both just amazed at how many people have been having the same experience of waking up at the exact same time night after night after night, looking at a clock or looking at anything that has, you know, digits or numbers on it at the exact time over and over again. So it's this sort of synchronistic phenomenon that keeps showing up. And 11:11 seems to be the most popular series of numbers that turns up. And it's funny because I've already gotten about 20 or 30 emails today just from people that knew we were going to be on the show,
yeah,
wanting to tell their stories. And, you know, it's like a year ago, well, maybe a couple of years ago, when I never had any idea that I was going to be writing a book on this, I would have never even imagined.
Well, we'll get to those stories, too. We'll open up the phone lines, and we'll get everyone an opportunity to chat about these strange sequences of numbers here. And of course, we're going to get your take on what they might mean. You know, it is funny because, you know, you could be sitting down at your computer. You'll look down in the corner where the clock is, and there it is, 11:11.
Right.
Or you'll be driving. You're in your car. You look over. It's 11:11. It seems to be all the time. Now, is this just a series of numbers that you remember? Maybe you're always looking at the clock. Maybe we're always looking at the corner of the computer, but it's the 11:11 that just pops up for us. Is that possible?
We sort of came up, and I don't want to give away too much because I know we'll be taking questions later, but we sort of came up with two very viable theories, and they actually work together. And one is that this is something that's happening from the outside. This is an exterior influence. And there's a reason why these numbers in particular keep popping up in people's lives. And I'm sure you've had a lot of guests on that have talked about guardians and spirits and the 11:11 way showers. So there's this whole system of belief that 11:11 is a very specific time prompt that these angels and guides and guardians are giving us, and it's supposed to mean something, although most of the people that we talked to really didn't know what it meant to them. They couldn't really say. And now, on the other hand, it could just be our brains. And one of the things that I learned from Larry is about matrixing, and I can, you know, let him talk a little bit more about that.
Now, and in my particular case, it was so prevalent, and then it went away, and then it came back. Why did it go away, and why did it come back?
You know, maybe your attention was elsewhere. Maybe it's just so hard to say. You know, one of the things that we looked at is that this is our brain, and our brain seeing something maybe once and then seeing it again and then making that neural connection so that now it sees it all the time. And, I mean, that happens to us in our everyday lives. We might not notice something the first time. We might notice it the second time. The third time, yeah, we notice it, and then it becomes ingrained in the brain. And then we start seeing it everywhere. It's like, you know, a big, ugly green Hummer, and I'm not, you know, making fun of Hummers, but, you know, something
sure
very
you are.
Specific. They're ugly. But anyway, I mean, something that is just very specific. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about why these numbers. Well, think about it. If you constantly looked at your clock and saw that it was 9:30 or 10:30. Big deal. Big deal. Those are numbers you're going to notice all the time because we make appointments on the hour. But 11:11, I mean, how often is that going to be popping up in your life?
And I was always told that when you see 11:11, try to remember exactly what you were doing or what you were thinking about when you said. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people report waking up and literally looking, and I've done this, you know, where you look at the clock immediately and boom, there it is. And I'm always thinking to myself, you know, darn it, why can't I remember what I was dreaming about? It must have been important. So, yeah, it's definitely trying to get people to pay attention. And unfortunately, it's really hard for us to pay attention.
Okay, now, as we get into this, what did you mean by the matrix?
Larry, you can talk about that.
About the matrix?
Matrixing, the brain.
Oh, about matrixing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the interesting phenomena about the human brain is that it is basically hardwired for pattern recognition. We have an ingrained ability to recognize and delineate patterns and things, and that really kind of goes back to, you know, the caveman times. It's a survival mechanism that we use to determine friend from foe. And you can see it most evidently when you look up in the sky and you see specific shapes in the clouds. Well, obviously those shapes aren't there, you know, whether you're seeing a boat or you're seeing a baby or whatever you see in the sky. But what's happening is your brain is manifesting a visual index, basically, of that. And you're taking something that looks like that, and your brain is creating a pattern from that. And it's basically, that's what matrixing is referred to as. It's also called pareidolia, which is the more scientific term of that. We tend to see that a lot in paranormal investigations and in photographs. A lot of the photographs that we see are very similar to that, where there's something that, you know, it could be something, but more than likely it's maybe just a shadow, but it looks like it could be a person, and your brain automatically goes into pattern recognition mode, and it attempts to basically fit that paradigm into what you're familiar with.
Interesting. Now, Marie, tell me a little bit about the importance of 1111 in your opinion.
We tried to find the origin of this particular time prompt, and there are a lot of references to, you know, obviously 2012. Everybody's talking about December 21st, 2012, the Mayan calendar. And what, you know, what we saw is that 1111 is associated with the time that whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen. And I had a real hard time when I was writing my book 2013. I had a hard time pinpointing the 1111 part, where it came from. It seems to be a much more modern addition to the whole 2012 mythology. But there is this belief that at 1111 universal time, something is going to happen, whether it's our junk DNA awakening and we all transform into these, you know, highly evolved conscious creatures, or the world comes crashing to a halt.
I got an email right before you two came on from someone who said, George, I don't see 1111, but I see 444.
Those are the ones I get, 222, 333, and 444. But again, I think it's the repetition of the numbers that's more important than the actual numbers. Like I said, if you were constantly to look at your watch and see that it's 9:30 or 10:30, you could pass that off as just, well, you know, those are the times I have to be at work. I got to pick up my kids.
Sure.
I got to make a doctor's appointment. But 4:44, 11:11. I mean, I got an email earlier from someone who said 12:12. Those are things that you, those are off times. You know, they're not on the hour or on the half hour. And they just get your attention much more so than a normal time. And I think that's the point, is that they're supposed to grab your attention. Again, it's like you could go out and drive and see a million white Toyota Camrys. But if you see one that's zebra striped, you're going to remember it. And then if you see another one, there goes the matrix, there goes the pattern recognition, and then you're going to start seeing them everywhere.
So, well, you know, that is so true. You go out and buy a car. Gosh, I remember years ago when we went out and we bought a little Jetta, a little Volkswagen Jetta about 20 years ago. And, heck, we had never seen them on the road before. And as soon as we had picked this one up, all of a sudden we saw them all over the place.
Yep,
all over the place.
When I was a teenager, my first car was an orange Volvo sedan. Now, come on. How many of those do you think? You know, I thought I had the only one. I'll be darned, when I started taking that thing out on the road, they were everywhere.
My father's first cars that he let me use on a regular basis when I was in high school was an orange Mercury.
Ugh.
I don't know why he liked those colors.
Orange cars are just not good.
And you know what? When you're a 17, 18-year-old kid, there aren't many places you can go and hide, Marie.
Exactly.
And Larry. You know,
exactly.
You're in that car and everybody knew. So give me a few stories on people who have talked with you about the, as you call, the time prompt. Have any?
We got quite a few, and we're still getting them. As soon as anybody hears the title of the book, they have a story. Most of them are people who have all their lives, or maybe for the past few years, had a specific number or time prompt always appearing, and they don't really know why. They know that it means something and that it's trying to alert them or get them to pay attention. But I would say the vast majority of people that we talk to are just as confused as we were when we started writing the book. There are some people that say that they've had visits from quote-unquote spirit guides or angels, and those are interesting, you know, because it's almost as if the time prompt kind of gets them to pay attention so that that event can manifest.
Are these time prompts good things? Is this something that people should be excited about when they happen?
I think so. I don't think we've heard from anybody. I know that there have been reports of people that say they've had like sleep paralysis episodes or they've seen demons. But when we tried to track those stories down, we really couldn't find any that were negative. I think the worst thing about this is that it annoys people. It annoys people because it's like, you know, God, what is it? God, if you're going to try to tell me something, put it on the
billboard. I just kind of laugh about it now. You know, I see it, and I kind of like shake my head, and I laugh about it because it happens, it's there, and there's not much you can do about it.
No, no, but for me now, and I think, you know, Larry will tell you the same thing, we are much more aware of them now. We have them all the time, and I think I'm, you know, I don't know if Larry's going through this, but I'm kind of stopping now when I see a time prompt or when I see a specific number or even words. It doesn't even have to be numbers that show up again and again throughout my day.
Does it cross age boundaries? Do we see more of these numbers as we get older?
Larry, you want
to? Yeah. No, I really don't think so. I think it's very much a gender and age neutral phenomena. I mean, when we were doing the research for the book, we had found stories from pretty much everyone across the board. I don't think it's very specific to a particular age range at all.
No, and my son, who's 7 now, constantly, and again, this speaks to the idea that once the brain sees something and kind of grabs hold of it, it keeps showing up because he'll, you know, Mommy, it's 11-11. Mommy, look, 11-11. And he never did that before. But I know why he's doing it. He's doing it because he went through the process of writing the book with me, you know, being my child. But I do think that that's important, that as soon as you become aware of something and you embrace it, and this may speak to paranormal phenomena as well, as soon as you become, you make that first connection, that first neural pathway is opened up, then you start to see it all the time. And maybe with the paranormal, the problem is that most people don't ever make that first neural connection.
You've got some interesting photographs on the cover of 11-11.
Those are neat, huh?
Lightning bolts that look like 11, Stonehenge that looks like 11. Somebody's got a tattoo of 11-11 on that. You didn't have the Twin Towers up there because that,
no,
too, looks like an 11-11.
No. And, you know, we have to... the publishing company, they have a person who designed the cover, and I think Larry agrees with me. I think they did a great job. It is so eye-popping. But, no, I think that would have, you know, been a negative.
A negative, but there's a meaning behind that, too.
Well, yeah, there is, but I think that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough one.
There's something. Does any of this tie into the Mayan calendar end date of December 21st, 2012?
Just the fact that there are mentions of the number, you know, again, of 11-11 being the time that whatever's going to happen will happen, and also that that we're being prompted, and the reason why there are more 11-11 experiences happening now, I know they go back decades because I know people that have had them 20, 30 years ago, but they seem to be increasing now. And again, one of the theories is that as we move closer towards 2012, more and more people are going to be alerted. More and more people are going to be asked to wake up and to pay attention.
Tell me about your thoughts when we come back from the break, of course, on synchronicity. In this book, 11-11, where do you get it?
Everywhere. It's out in all brick-and-mortar bookstores and on all online bookstores. And if you go to your bookstore and they don't have it, order it. Have them order it.
I wonder if there's a bookstore out there with an address 1111 someplace.
Oh, that would see. We should do a big book signing there.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great, yeah.
And what's your main website?
They can go to www.paraexplorers.com, and that's P-A-R-A, explorers.com.
Okay, very good. We'll be back in just a moment. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight, Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman, talking about their work, 1111, the time prompt phenomenon. And also, let's get behind the meaning of some of these synchronicities as well. We'll be right back. 1111, the time prompt phenomenon with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman. Marie, is there a science behind this, behind these numbers?
There could be, although before we answer it, we want to let you know that Larry did find a bookstore that is on 1111 Main Street in Nebraska. We're not going to go to Nebraska. Well, maybe we will if they invite us. It's a Barnes & Noble.
They should.
1111.
That's cool.
Yep. So there you go.
Yep.
There is. There could very well be. I kind of believe there's a science behind everything. And synchronicity is something that we looked at very seriously And that's the idea that there are things that link the subjective with the objective worlds. And, you know, Carl Jung was sort of the forefather of synchronicity. And it's this idea that events happen that seem to be meaningful coincidences. And yet, if we look at quantum theoretical physics and we start looking at some of the ideas of such things as like the zero-point field, where you have this field that connects everything, the web of connectedness that David Bohm speaks of, which is orders of reality, the implicate order, that there is a basis, a scientific basis for the fact that, first of all, there's no linear time, past, present, and future. It's all there in that field. So when events happen that seem to be coincidental or synchronistic, we think to ourselves, this is impossible. How could this happen? But when you've got this entire field of information that contains within it past, present, and future, anything can happen. I mean, it is not impossible for events to match up that way. There is a law, however, that we looked at called the law of truly large numbers that sort of negates that. And that law states that when you have a big enough sampling of people or a big enough sampling of objects, you're bound to have connectedness, you're bound to have synchronicities. But I think we all see enough of them in our lives to know that there is something profound about them. And I think that we apply the meaning. They may not have meaning. They may just happen the way they happen, but we're the ones that imply the meaning to them.
Now, what do you mean by your definition of synchronicity?
Synchronicity for me, it occurs when two events happen that seem like there's no way they should ever happen together, or two events happen that are just so, they happen so quickly. For example, you might be thinking of your, you know, old Uncle George that you haven't talked to in 30 years, and the phone rings and there he is. He's decided to reconcile with
mm-hmm.
you. Events that happen that we do not see the cause and effect part of it. We see the effect, but we don't see the cause, because that's happening on a different order. That's happening on the implicate order that David Bohm speaks of. That's happening maybe on that zero-point field level. But we're seeing the outer effects of it, and we say, holy, you know, whatever, how did that happen? And yet it could be something that's just purely scientific.
The fact that it does happen, we all know it happens, and we've all gone through this, and when we take the phone calls, we'll find out how much people have gone through this. It doesn't seem to end, Marie and Larry. These synchronicities just continue to, you know, get better and better and stronger and stronger. How much happens to be psychic ability of somebody, their intuitiveness? Does that play a part?
Larry, why don't you speak on that one?
That's an interesting question. We really didn't do a whole lot of research into the psychic aspect of the phenomena. But, you know, just sitting here thinking about it, I mean, it could. It definitely, there could be some type of affiliation between the two. I'm not certain.
The synchronicities, though, must have at least two involved as opposed to just one.
Well, right, if something happens once, big deal.
Sure.
But if it happens twice, and the more it happens, the more it causes you to step back, take notice, and apply meaning to it. And, you know, I mean, psychic abilities, if, again, we can sort of interchange the word synchronicity with that idea that your old Uncle George that you haven't heard from in 30 years calls the second you think of him. You haven't even thought of him in 30 years.
Now, that may only happen one time, but that's still pretty remarkable.
It is. So synchronicity, but it has to be two events. I mean, it has to be linking two different events. But if it were to happen again, I mean, if you were to, like, the next day be thinking about your dear Aunt Sue, who you haven't heard from in 15 years.
And she calls.
Then I would seriously think you might be psychic.
Okay, and also, though, what's happening? Are we picking up on dear old Aunt Sue ready to make the phone call in what I've always called this wireless connection that we're all hooked into? Or are we as individuals making these things happen?
Wow.
Are we sending thoughts?
Question.
Huh? Are we sending thoughts into the aunt? And she calls. She thinks of us because something hits her in the brain, and she goes, I haven't called George in a long time.
Exactly. She just all of a sudden has this prompting
to
call.
Is that possible?
Sure, Sure. And Larry and I are big proponents of what we call the zero-point grid. We refer to it more as a grid than a field because to us, reality has all these different levels, and we can access some we can't, some we're just starting to learn how to access. So if all of the information of every event, every thought, every action is out there in that grid, past, present, and future, first of all, we have the ability to access it, and I think some people have more of an ability than others. It's also true that the person at the other end has that same ability. So if you suddenly think about this person, they could be very well getting that information from the grid or from the field at the same time. And that's what prompts them to call. So, yeah, definitely. I think, again, it's that web of connectedness. We look at the Internet. I mean, we accept that concept of the fact that we're all globally, we're connected now to everybody in the world through the Internet. Yet on a more quote-unquote psychic level, the same could be true via the zero-point grid, or Edgar Cayce referred to it as the Akashic field, the morphogenic, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just that other order of reality that David Bohm spoke of.
These powers and numbers that people see every day, why numbers? I mean, we've just talked about the phone synchronicities, for example, and I'm sure there are many others. But why numbers, too? What do the numbers play in this?
Well, they say that music is the language of the universe, but Larry and I kind of learned in our research that math is numbers.
There's a geometry here.
They're behind every measurement. Larry, if you want to speak to that a little bit.
Well, you know, numbers really are such an integral part of everything that it's, you know, it's really a natural thing, you know, whether it's binary, whether it's, you know, zeros and ones, you know, numbers are such a part of our lives that it seems like that is probably one of the most common or one of the most noticeable, I guess you would say, things. So I think we tend to see the numbers a lot more often just because of the fact that they are so prevalent in our lives.
I want to get both your takes on this then. When we see 11-11, Larry, what do you think this means?
Well, you know, I've actually struggled with that for an answer. One of the things, before we actually decided to do the book, as far as a personal experience, I've had time pump phenomena throughout my life, but I never really thought too much about it. It was one of those things, like, as we had mentioned before, it was more of an annoyance more than anything.
Sure. Oh, by the way, just passing by.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just, oh, by the way kind of stuff. But, you know, I think there's definitely some legitimacy to it. I think whether the number is 11-11, whether it's 12-12, 222, whatever, I think there is definitely a correlation between that and between our consciousness and between our, I don't really want to say worldview, but our view of the outside and perhaps inside worlds as well. So, you know.
Marie, yeah. your take?
You know, it's funny. I just thought of something while Larry was talking. I think one of the reasons why 11-11 is so popular is because it's popular. And I'm a firm believer in the contagion theory that when and tipping points and critical mass and all those things, that when something becomes a little more prominent than something else, that it explodes. I mean, look at YouTube. There's a perfect example. There's been other video things on the Internet, but
sure,
that one took off.
MySpace, like what it did.
Exactly.
Facebook now.
So maybe what we're dealing with is the fact that there's, you know, it's like the 100th monkey had the 11-11 experience, and then it just exploded and took off. And that may be why those particular numbers are so important. I will tell you, you know, like Larry said, I've had these experiences too, but never with 11-11 until I started writing the book. So it's almost like the contagion, I got infected.
Yep.
And then my son did. And then, you know, my friends now, they just love to bug me. Oh, it's 11-11.
Everybody has seen it.
Whoever
I talk to, they're all seeing this now.
So you have to wonder how much of that is this sort of infectious quality that ideas have, you know, collective consciousness. It just sort of spreads like a computer virus.
However, what does it mean when someone sees the other numbers more than 11-11?
Now, this is something Larry and I, again, struggled with. What is more important? Is the fact that they're having the time prompts more important or the actual numbers? And
good point.
It really seems like the prompts themselves are more important. The fact that you're being alerted to pay attention.
Could be 333-666. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but because, you know, I mean, maybe Larry has a different opinion, but it just seems that when people struggle to try to understand what the numbers meant, they couldn't get it. But they could get the fact that they were being shaken awake. Oh, my life's been crap lately. You know, I hate my job, blah, blah, blah. And they have these time prompts that sort of remind them to maybe live in the present, or they sort of jar them into a different state of awareness. And I think that becomes more important than the actual digits themselves.
How close is this to numerology?
We have a whole chapter on numerology, very close. I mean, we are talking about the fact that, as you know, Pythagoras said, all is number. Everything comes down to math, and I know people that hated math in school don't want to hear that, but really, numbers seem to be the language that reality speaks. I mean, even on a more cosmological or astronomical level, it all comes down to numbers. And what numerology did is simply took numbers and turned it into a system of divination, much like astrology.
Well, I'm going to do this, which, you know, I was doing on a little sporadic basis, but when I start seeing 1111, I'm really going to start writing down what I was doing or what I was thinking about that time. Because, it's very possible that our thought process keys us into this 1111 too. Maybe it wants us to be more aware of what we were thinking about.
Maybe it's just prompting us to slow down.
Or to think a little harder.
Yeah. Be in the present moment. You're right.
And pay attention regardless.
Well, exactly. In everything you do, you know, whether you're driving a car or just these numbers pop up, you know, pay attention and follow through, especially during these times where more people are under stress.
Right, and we're bombarded with information. We are overwhelmed with information. The vast majority of it, you know, we don't need. We're just so survival-oriented right now, yet something is telling us, wait a minute, you got to pay attention.
Do you think
this is life?
Do you think these time prompts are growing than, let's say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah, I do. Once the book is around, I'm sure they'll grow even more. But, yeah, and I think one of the reasons is, again, that the popularity thing, the whole contagion thing is happening. But the times, just like you said, when we've got stressful times, when people are under duress, they have to be reminded more that they only have one life to live. They better live it the best way they can. And if this is what the universe, quote unquote, needs to do to shake them up, it's going to happen more and more. I think during times when everything was calm and wonderful and people had the time to really live their lives, they probably weren't that common.
There's no question about it that, we're being challenged at this time, and I wonder if these numbers have anything to do with it. Do you think 50 years ago people saw 1111 on clocks?
What do you think, Larry?
Well, I think they probably did, to be honest. I think that they're probably, the phenomena has probably been around probably forever, but I think our awareness of it maybe what has been increasing throughout the past couple of decades, you know, especially with, as you mentioned, the current climate of the world. I think people are definitely starting to pay more attention to those things. But no, I think it's probably been around. We just haven't had the need, perhaps, to be as cognizant of it as we are now.
Yeah, I'm here in Los Angeles, and sometimes I look up at our special clocks we have here, and it says 11:11. This time I went right through it. Now, that's weird.
You were so engrossed in the present moment of what you were doing, though.
I looked up and it says 11:53 and a half, and I went, where'd my 11:11 go to?
You had no need to be prompted.
We're going to take phone calls next hour, and people are rolling in already, by the way, with these incredible stories of 1111. And, you know, I guess we should find out, what were they doing when they saw these numbers, huh?
I think that's critical. I'm going to start doing the same thing. Just really writing down everything I can remember.
We talked about a little bit about geometry, but how important is that to the scheme
of things? Well, we wrote a lot about sacred geometry because, again, this is the idea that Yeah, there's sort of a divine influence on the layout of certain buildings and temples and monuments, and that, again, number and measurement had much more of a profound meaning than just, oh, build that wall 6 feet high and put this 5 inches to the left. Sacred geometry really speaks to the divine nature of numbers.
It's like, as you both believe, the universe is a huge computer.
Yeah, it really seems that way.
With I wonder how many megabytes of memory.
and does it crash?
Oh God, I
hope
not.
Does it crash? Exactly. I still want to know who's putting the software into it.
Yeah, who's the programmer? Yeah. That's the ultimate question, though, that everybody's trying to answer, you know?
Is there a danger behind these numbers at all? Does anybody ever report problems behind it?
I don't. Larry, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say, I don't think that there's really, I don't think there's a danger in the numbers. I think that there's probably more of a danger, I guess you would say, in ignoring the numbers, really, more than anything. Throughout our research for the book, we never really came across any stories of anyone having any doom and gloom encounters revolving around numbers. But, you know, as we talked about before, if the numbers truly are a wake-up call, perhaps, to something, an event, what have you, I think we probably run more of a risk in not paying attention to the numbers.
Were they primarily, if you say, like a wake-up call, is there any correlation between 1111 and the ability to see into the future? Does anybody have that ability?
Wow, that's an interesting question. That's one I really, honestly, I haven't thought too much about. Marie, do you have
any idea? I'm just wondering if people are more tuned into the...
Well, that's what I was going to say, that if the people that are becoming more aware of this, obviously, you know, if we want to talk about conscious evolution, I think they're going to be at the forefront. The more aware you are of these, I think the more open you're going to be to other types of abilities, including those that we call paranormal. And again, it's all of, I think the two most important words of the next 5 years are going to be pay attention.
Yeah.
Because that's obviously something or somebody or what have you is trying to tell us to do that. So obviously the people that have sort of caught on to that and are already paying attention and maybe writing down what's happening or taking notice of what's going on when this happens, they may be opening themselves up to greater psychic abilities, if you want to call it that, or just really, to me, predicting the future is just tapping into the field.
Okay, up next, we'll take your phone calls with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, sure is, and we're going to take your phone calls with Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman next as we talk about 1111, the time prompt phenomenon. Share some of your stories with us as well. We'll be back. Marie, when people say they have a lucky number, whatever it may be, is that true? Do they have a lucky number? Do things happen with that number?
Sure. And I think it goes back to the same concept of attaching meaning to something. If you see enough things happen in your life that are associated with the number 14, that will become your lucky number. The thing is, everybody likes to pick number 7, but then you hear them all saying, you know, how come I don't win the lottery? How come I don't do this? Well, I think choosing a lucky number is really more about taking notice of the numbers that may be showing up a lot in your life rather than just picking one because everybody else does or because somebody said that 7 was lucky and 13 wasn't. But, yeah, I think, again, it's a combination of your own belief, and I am a firm supporter of the power of intention, your own intention to find luck, and the fact that you believe that these number associations that keep showing up in your life are trying to teach you something.
I've always thought 4, which is my birth date, was my lucky number.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to be for me.
I'm trying to think of, you know, I really don't have one.
Larry, do you?
Actually, I do. The number 13, believe it or not.
That's a great number.
Yeah.
It is. That actually is a lucky number for me.
Well, you know what? That's interesting because when we do sometimes our Friday the 13th open lines, people will call in, and there's always somebody who loves Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's their favorite number. You know what? And maybe it's a state of mind.
Well, I think
I think it definitely is. You know, that there's many countries where number 13 really is considered an unlucky number. You know, if you go to some high-rise buildings, they purposely omit the 13th floor for exactly that reason. But, you know, it probably is only as lucky or unlucky as you consider it.
Absolutely.
Some people, you know, it may be they had a horrible experience that happened on that particular day, and going forward in life, they've then associated that bad experience with that particular day. Some people may have had great experiences on that day, and again, they go forward in life thinking that that's a, you know, that's a wonderful day. And then there's some people that probably don't care either way. You know, number 13 is just another number and not one to really be concerned with or to pay more attention to than any other.
Let's go to the phones. Reno, Nevada gets us going. Stephanie, you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, George. Hey. I have a synchronicity that's been happening. It started about a year and a half ago, and I've experienced the 444 and the 1111 for about 15 years, but this is something new that started happening. And what happens is I'll be on the computer and I'll type a word and then I'll look at the TV and then there the word is within like a second, or somebody will say the word on the TV. Or maybe I'll be listening to the radio and there it is. Or even having a conversation, I'll say a word and then there it is. I'll look up at the TV and there it is. And it's happening like three or four times a day. It's just, it's so dramatic that it doesn't seem possible that it could be coincidental. And it can be any word. The word doesn't seem to have any significance. Just the fact that it's the same word that I'm seeing or hearing somewhere
right.
else. I was wondering if you have heard of that happening.
Well, absolutely. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be numbers. It can be words. It can be images. I've had that happen so many times. I kind of think that God, whatever you want to call that sort of universal intelligence, is a jokester, you know, and likes to drive us crazy. But again, there may not be a real profound reason why you might see the word basketball 25 times in one day, other than your brain picked up on it a couple of times, you know, created that new neural connection, that new pathway was made, and now you're going to see it everywhere. The word probably was always there. And maybe it was there yesterday, too. It was mentioned a dozen times. You just didn't notice because you weren't thinking about the word basketball. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times it's just our brains.
I will say, though, it isn't a specific word like basketball. It happens anywhere from 4 to 7 times a day, and it's just random words.
It's just a different word every time. To pay attention. I really keep going back to those two words because this is what it seems to me, that when these things happen, the meaning may not be as big as we think it is. It just may be that we're being asked to pay attention, you know, get in the present moment. Because if those things didn't happen, you probably would just sort of, you know, be daydreaming or doing what you're doing, not even really being in the moment and just letting the day go by. But when those things happen, what's the first thing you do? You become alert.
666 seems to be kind of ominous. Does anybody ever talk about that number, that sequence?
I saw a T-shirt that says 668, the neighbor of the beast, and I love that. You know, it's just a number. I mean, yeah, it's got that whole mythology behind it from Revelation, but nobody knows what it means. Nobody knows what it's supposed to be indicating or who that person is. And so what happened is now you've created this sort of cult of negativity around three simple digits. And in numerology, of course, we're told that you've got to add those up, which means you get the number 9, because 6 and 6 and 6 is 18, then you add 8 and 1 and you get 9. So I think the significance only comes from the people that ascribe to that particular religious belief.
Let's go to Pismo Beach, California. First-time caller Kevin is with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, George. Hey, I just want to say thank you for all the truck drivers out here. We look forward to the 10 o'clock hour. And
thank you.
Let's drive in, let me tell you. There's a lot of dull moments out here, but not when you're on the air, let me tell you.
Very kind.
Listen, there is a situation that always happens to me, and my odometer on my truck, and I see it constantly when it is rolling over to a solid number, say 33,333. It'll be 1/10 of a mile, but I'll always look at the odometer and watch it roll over to a solid set of numbers, and I don't see. It's not in my peripheral vision. I actually have to look up over my steering wheel to see my odometer. But something tells me all the time to look up over my odometer. And I'll be damned if all the time when this happens, it is rolling over to a solid set of numbers.
Maybe it's telling you, hey, look, buddy, you're out there driving. Do you drive on the Grapevine, or are you further?
Oh, yes, all over the Grapevine,
okay, so you're
all
on
the
Grapevine.
Time.
I'm familiar with it. Pay attention.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's just sort of trying to snap you awake, because I know, you know, if you're driving for a long time, you can sort of go off into that zone, and it's hard to explain these things, but I just think it comes back to wanting us to snap to attention.
Well, it happens so often, it almost gets to a scary point, you know. It's just like you almost know when you look over your steering wheel, you know you're rolling over to another solid set of numbers.
But see, and now you're getting into that, could you be causing it to happen?
Yeah.
You know? We have a document about that.
It's just wild to me, and I just didn't know if there's anything to it or if it's just premonition or if it's just something you've trained your brain to do.
Well, okay, so every time that happens, what's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're just out there late at night. You're the only one on the road. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's either something is playing with us, which if that's the case, great. You know, there's something out there that's playing with us. Or it's just your brain is trying to get you to just sort of be alert, pay attention. And it may have no meaning at all. I mean, we do have to kind of think about that. Maybe there is no meaning behind it other than, wow.
That's true.
Life is strange.
Let's go to Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Ron, you're up with us.
Hi, George.
Hey, Ronnie.
A little while ago, you were asking about if people could see the future.
Yes.
And I really believe that people can see the future because, you know, I've had a couple of small experiences with just dreams that were, you know, emotional events, I believe, can cause premonitional dream in the present from the future. And I think that more people are starting to have them. And I think it could be due to emotional events in the near future in this country and,
true,
you know, Earth changes causing that. And I think that people will, even as the time grows closer, have more, and the you know, global consciousness will start to realize that we're all almost aware of it before it happens.
Well, I think you're right.
Actually change it, you know.
I think you're right. Thanks for the comments.
All
right. Want to react to that, Marie or Larry?
You know, my own dreams have been getting much more bizarre and disturbing. And I think, again, we're a product of our times. And if the emotional mindset of the populace is negative, which it is right now, I think we're going to be seeing people having more disturbing, distressing dreams and also more precognitive because we want so badly to know if the future is going to be okay. So a lot of us are going to start thinking about what's the future going to be like. And maybe that's opening up our own ability to tap into the future.
Good point. Next up, let's go to Carla in Columbus, Indiana. You're up with us. Hey, Carla.
Hi. This is a real honor. I have the dilemma when I'm with my grandchildren and watch a lot of cartoons. We'll be talking about, maybe it's a rainy day, and can I use the umbrella? And as soon as we go out into the living room and the TV's on, Dora happens to be talking about her umbrella. I got a lot of that. I run into having conversations with children as I'm walking into the next room. The TV's repeating the same thing. No, but if we don't open the umbrella in the house, or it's very similar. So that's kind of unsettling. But I had something that just recently happened, a project that has been under work on two different sides of the country, one in Pennsylvania and one here. I've waited for 7 months for this project to come together different eight ways. I got a call January the 13th that part of it was done. I was surprised it was coming together. I had to take a break, go down to another town. When I was in that town, I was tickled to death that the project's coming together. I pull up to get gas. There is these roses all over the ground in packages. And I kept asking everybody, that was in the area, like, are these yours? And the response was, I never seen those. They look like they're for you. They weren't there a minute ago. I get home that afternoon. The second part of the project from the other end of the country is here. And it just correlates with 6 months prior, I had lost my husband, and he had asked me to continue working on that project. And in one day, I not only get one part of it, I got roses in between and got the rest of it all in one day.
Well, that's a great story. I'm glad you got the project. But, you know, when things like that happen, it's those cosmic giggles. It's just a reminder that there's something bigger than all of us. And I think you were being congratulated by somebody.
Something's going on for people to be getting these numbers and these things happening.
Yeah. And we've all had those experiences. You know, even the most diehard skeptics have had synchronistic experiences. They'll come up with all kinds of ways to sort of explain it themselves out of it, but everybody has had them. I think if you're human and you've got consciousness and you've got a brain and you're aware that you're going to have them. But that's just one of those really neat stories.
Off to San Francisco we go with Adam on Coast to Coast. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I just want to say it's a pleasure talking to all of you. I think it's synchronicity that we're all talking right now.
Hey.
Probably.
So around 1999, almost when it hit 2000, it started, and I started to see 11-11 consecutively, maybe 30 times. It happened to me between 2 months, and it was completely random. And, I agree with all these people saying that, you know, they don't know why it's happening. And then in 2006, it stopped. And George said that, you know, recently it started again. But I've been recently seeing 12-34, which I thought was pretty strange. And I was wondering, you guys haven't talked about that 1-2-3-4.
1-2-3-4. What's the significance of that, Maria or Larry?
Again, that's another common time prompt to see numbers in sequential order. And one thing that I was just thinking, and I'll let Larry give his opinion, is that, you know, it might very well be that certain times there is something that's going to happen to us at that time if we continue to pay attention. So I would be really curious for anybody who's going through this to write down whatever happens to them when they see the time prompts, because maybe you're being warned that, okay, now I'm going to give you 11-11 for 3 months because in month four you're going to get that job or something's going to happen, but only if you stay alert. So, that's just something that I thought of. And the fact that your numbers have changed, now something else is coming into the picture.
Has anybody ever, for example, seen like 246 and then all of a sudden they get into a car crash and they're hit by a car with a license plate 246?
Oh, absolutely.
That does happen.
Absolutely. Oh, gosh. You know, we've heard of all kinds of stories. People, the number 5378 will keep coming up and then they'll find out that that's the address of their long-lost brother, and it just all kinds of strange things. And again, we have to pay attention to those numbers.
Let's go to Florida. Don, you're up with us. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
I just wanted to add on to what one of your guests said about the Uncle George scenario.
Yes.
And I have a personal belief that it is a corrupt moment in time. And what I mean by that is, what synchronicity is with Uncle George scenario, and I have this happen all the time, I'll think the same thing. I haven't spoke to a friend of mine, St. Mark, in 3 years. And then all of a sudden, as soon as I think it, it comes right after
it happens.
It's supposed to happen. In other words, we're in a program. And when something doesn't go right in the program, there's a trigger or a mechanism within us that brings it to thought, hey, I haven't spoken to Uncle George in 30 years. But the fact of the matter is that you're supposed to talk to Uncle George, but there was something corrupt or a glitch in the program. Because let me tell you, The Matrix is my favorite movie. I've probably seen it 300 times. And I'm telling you right now, there's so much to that movie. Because when you think about the brain, well, it acts on electrical impulse. And everything that we see, everything that we hear, we're talking electrical impulses. Our brain deciphers it. So it's like we are in a computer-type program almost, and when you really think about it.
And, Don, let me ask you, do you think you create the scenario, or is the scenario already out there?
I believe that it's already out there, but there's a flexibility in the program where that you can insert certain things either consciously and sometimes subconsciously.
That's a good point, because Marie, not everybody is tuned in to this.
No, of course not. No.
No.
In fact, I would say, you know, most people aren't.
No, Larry. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, along those lines of thinking, I definitely would agree with Marie. I think that some people tend to be more intuitive, or some people tend to be more tuned in, really. I mean, if you think about the radio, think about a radio. You know, there's AM, FM, shortwave. There's all kinds of frequencies that are constantly bombarding us. They're flying around the airwaves at all the time. But unless you actually tune in to those specific frequencies, you don't hear it. In other words, unless you're physically or emotionally, mentally, psychologically tuning into this, you're not hearing it.
Well, that is absolutely true. The name of the book that we're talking about tonight is 1111. The Time Prompt Phenomenon, Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman. You can get it at most major bookstores, Amazon.com as well. Their website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. They have a couple, paraexplorers.com and mariedjones.com, and also arpast.org. Mine, of course, coasttocoastam.com, which is going through a brand new website design, which almost is finished. They've added a few more incredible pieces to the website, and so it took a few more weeks longer than it's supposed to, but it's getting finished. I'll be back with more calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Marie Jones, Larry Flaxman, their work, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. Marie, when people are talking with their friends, they bring this up. You know, I see 1111 all the time. How many of those people that are part of that conversation would probably say the same thing?
I have been, well, let's say, for example, I've been with maybe three or four people. And if I mention, oh, you know, Marie, what's your new book? And I mention the title. And I'd say half. I would say two of them would say, I have had that happen to me. And I would say that all of them have had synchronistic experiences. Maybe not with 1111, but they'll say, oh, you know, this one day this song kept playing 25 times a day. So, you know, it's not always the 1111 thing. But I know, you know, and Larry's had the same thing happen. Every time we've mentioned this book to people that we thought probably knew nothing about it, they would say, oh, my God, I've been having that happen for years.
Did you ever go to Vegas?
A couple of times.
Okay, so you play a little blackjack. They deal you a 20.
Oh, God.
You sit back and you go, I know he's got a blackjack. And the dealer flips it over, and sure enough, it's a blackjack. What is that?
Luck.
Is that what that, or
it's
bad
the
luck?
Luck of the draw.
Bad luck on
and
our
you
part.
You know what? I would quit while I was ahead. Because I know a lot of people that go to Vegas and they do have that happen, and then they try it again, and it happens, and they try it again, and it happens. Then the next 27 times they try it, they lose their house. So,
yeah. Let's go to Yakima, Washington, west of the Rockies. Chad, take it away, Chad.
Yes, sir. George and Marie, thank you so much for taking the call.
Sure thing.
I've got another theory on the other side of synchronicity. What if it's not a glitch in the matrix? What if it's actually the design? What if RNA in our bodies, you know, DNA makes you who you are. RNA is everything else. What if when we experience synchronicity and deja vu and many of these other experiences that all humans experience, what if it's our RNA opening up into the infinite? And in that moment, we do glimpse and feel like, whoa, I've seen this before, because, yes, you have seen it before.
And it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yes, and it's not to invalidate it or say it's a physical phenomenon. I think it's actually, if we're only using 10% of our brain, what's that other 90% for? Maybe those are sparks opening up so that we're starting to see things in a different way.
All right. Who wants to take that?
Larry?
Larry?
Did we lose him?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. What do you think? Oh, I
don't know where he is.
Yeah, Larry, we
can't. Are you there?
Now I can hear you, but yeah, you keep cutting out.
That was weird. Okay. No, I was saying I think it's a very plausible possibility. I think that if you look at the possible design of the matrix or whatever really you want to call it, the grid, I think it's possible, sure. That definitely is a possible. Have you had a lot of experiences like that before?
Absolutely. I actually focus on it and consciously aware, try to make these occur. And I think more and more people, as they recognize them, they're experiencing them more and more, not just with the 1111, but synchronistic experiences where they know there's meaning in the ordinary things of their life.
Right. And another thing, too, that we talked about a little bit is the fact that, we're told that there may be parallel universes.
Yes.
So something like deja vu.
Right.
If we exist in all of these other universes, there's always that possibility that we're experiencing the same thing in two different universes at the same time. But something, in one of the universes will happen a little bit differently, which is why deja vu does not continue. It's a very brief event. And I've always believed that that's what it was. You're getting a glimpse of yourself in that parallel universe. But because parallel universes ascribe to the fact that when you make a different choice, it branches off into another universe, the event ends as soon as that different choice is made.
Whoever designed all this, and we'll call it God, of course, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'm telling you, a total computer geek.
God is not a computer geek.
God, but it really does make
the claws are going to part on you, Marie.
It really does make you wonder, though, about the possible intelligent design of everything.
It sure does. Let's go to Herb in Palmetto, Florida, east of the Rockies. Hey, Herb.
Hello.
Yep.
How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Thanks.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I'm sort of addicted to your show since I first found it the night you had the gentleman from Yellowstone on and we spoke.
Oh, yes. Okay, great. I'm glad you did.
If you remember or not, I'm the second guy he found that survived from that earthquake.
That's right.
But that's neither here nor there. What I'm calling about is this number thing has been happening to me for, 6-7 months, and I had no idea of the concept. I work security. I'm a retired police officer, and I work security now. And when I was on afternoon shift, every night, inevitably, I'd look at the clock and it would be 11:11. Well, now I'm on midnight to 8, and it seems like 1 or 2 or 3, 4 nights a week, I'll look at the clock, I'll see 1:11, 2:11, 3:33, on at a night. While Marie was talking earlier, I looked down and I saw 2:22. Well, while I was waiting to get for you to pick up, I did a patrol around, pulled back, turned the clock on, and guess what time it was? 3:33.
I have absolutely no
idea why this is occurring to me, none whatsoever.
But it is.
It is, and I thought it would be extremely interesting to see what kind of comment your guests had about.
All right, go ahead, Marie.
I think just the fact that this is happening to, and again, I would say the vast majority of people, that there is some great mystery going on here. And again, we can say that it's got something to do with the brain and the fact that this gentleman, like everyone else, after maybe the second or third time it happens, you start to, it becomes almost habitual that you're going to notice those times. It's become ingrained in you. It's sort of like, okay, now it's all yours. But again, it just seems like it's happening on such a collective level that there's more to the story than we're just being toyed with or our brains are just playing games with us.
Sometimes, Marie, I have a digital clock in front of me here in L.A., right? And sometimes I'll just keep it on as a stopwatch, for my live commercials and things. So I got to watch my little clock. But sometimes I'll just let it run and then I'll reset it when I'm ready to go to a break. Almost all the time, when I peek down at it, it's got 11 minutes and 11 seconds on it or something like
that.
It's not a clock. It's a stopwatch. It's an electronic stopwatch. And that's weird. I can't get away from it. And Herb, you're the same way. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, you're right. I have one other quick question.
Sure.
and it's something that's I thought about for years. And I don't know what you guys think about it, but as you and everyone else is well aware, we don't use all of our brain. What is the possibility of this matrix that someday we will learn to interconnect with everybody again? Because I think we had the ability before where everybody's brain will interconnect because of these numbers.
Hmm.
Larry, you want to comment on that first?
Well, that's a toss-off, Marie, isn't it? Take it, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure.
I think that definitely, like you said, that was an ability that people had a long time ago. And I think one of the reasons why we've lost it is because of information, because of the overload of technology. We have machines that'll do everything for us. Why do we need to pay attention? Why do I need to connect with anyone? I can go on my computer. But it could be a return to that awareness of the connectedness. And again, this is not woo-woo new age stuff. I mean, we've got physicists telling us that there is this web of connectivity.
Say that again, woo-woo?
The woo-woo. Okay. Woo-woo! Because a lot of people are turned off by that. They want to know that there's some kind of scientific basis for these things, and there is. That doesn't take away from the magic or the mystery of it.
Not at all. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Stephanie, another Stephanie is on with us. Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. Let me turn my speakers. Okay, hello. I just wanted to say that I've always been intuitive about numbers, and my birthday is February 2nd, which is 2-2.
That's my daughter's.
Oh, really?
Same thing, yep. Groundhog Day.
Yes. But I've always seen 222, and I guess since listening to your show, I've noticed 1111, 111, many others. But I kind of think that noticing that all my life, I mean, like all my life, and I'm 51 now, that I've celebrated it. I wonder about it. It's a curiosity to me. But every time I notice it, it's a celebration to me. Like, ooh, what's this about? I don't know. Like when I turned, I don't even remember. I think I was 44 on 02-02-02. And I invited 22 friends to eat at a restaurant called Two Amigos. We all ordered number 22s. It was a Mexican restaurant.
Okay, so with these kinds of numbers, and she brings up something pretty interesting, what happens in the year 2011, okay? November 11, 11, 2011. So you got 11, 11, 11. Do you think anything weird will happen, Marie?
No, I don't, because, I mean, if you ascribe to numerology, you'd have to add all those numbers up to get your master number. And even if you don't, I would think that the weird stuff would happen on 11-11-1111. You know, if we're going to go with that logic. No, I don't. I think what I like about what this woman is saying is that she has learned to take these time pumps and make them into something positive and even something empowering. That every time they happen now, she says, yeah, you know, this is so cool. And that may very well be what they're meant to do. But I don't necessarily think anything special is going to happen on a date just because it has some 11s in it. Now, people will say, oh, 9-11. Well, okay, that's fine. That could be part of why the number 11 in recent years has become so prominent. Again, you know, if we have another event like that occur on the 11th of a particular month, then more people are going to be aware of the number. So it's that contagion thing.
Could this just be a biological quirk of the brain?
You know, you got to wonder if somebody, like I said, if somebody outside of us is playing a trick on us, or if it's just the brain wants so desperately, and I'll let Larry finish this, with finding a pattern.
I think that's definitely the case. I think, you know, as we talked about, our brain really is that's our programming. We are designed and built to look for patterns. And I think a lot of it really can be explained using that explanation. It's interesting. I just got an email from a gentleman that's telling me that he's listening to your show, and that he's never had an 11-11 experience until tonight.
See, there we go.
Oh, no, look what we started.
Yeah, so, you know, actually, I was going to ask the question to you, Marie. Do you think that just by the fact of us being on the show tonight, do you think maybe we are acting as a trigger, perhaps, for people? We are, you know, making people become perhaps more aware of the time.
Oh, absolutely. I can guarantee, and George, I'm sure you're going to find this out when you're inundated with 11-11, that we are all going to be getting tons of 11-11 emails over the next few days.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Ray in Gainesville. You are up with us on the wild card line. Hey, Ray.
Hey, George. Listen, I really think that this this whole subject of numbers is a train car full of horse hockey, and I really wish this subject wouldn't mess up my nighttime radio listening pleasure.
Now, let me ask you, though, Ray. Do you see 11-11 at all, ever?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you ever see 11-11?
Yes, I see it once in a while on the clock and stuff. And the same with, hey, I've never noticed any difference in numbers having an effect in my life.
Okay. Now, that's an interesting question, Marie and Larry. He doesn't see any difference in his life.
Well,
should you?
Well, I don't think necessarily that everybody will have an experience. As we talked about before, you know, there's a good possibility that some people are more open to having an experience than others. There are some people that are much more, for lack of a better word, really intuitive about it. And just because this particular gentleman's not having an experience, you know, I don't think negates the phenomena whatsoever. I mean, there are so many people that are reporting the phenomena that, you know, I think that it's probably a more rare situation that he's not.
It doesn't work for everybody.
Oh,
it does
no.
not work for everybody.
It's just like not everybody can sing well.
Let's go to Vancouver, Canada, where I'll be next Saturday. Not this Saturday, next Saturday. Kathleen, welcome to the show. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I see 11-11 frequently. Sometimes I'll see it in the morning and then see it again at night. But I have unbelievable synchronicity happening to me all the time, like just unbelievable coincidences. So, for example, tonight we had the lovely Reverend Michael Beckwith was in Vancouver.
Oh, I love Michael.
Oh, my God.
He
was
wonderful.
Oh, my God, and his wife. So I'm there, and my niece is there, and I drive her to her car. We're sitting in the car. On my clock, it shows 11-11. I said, oh, look, 11-11. And I said, I get this all the time, and it's like the power of this number. And then I said, I have this synchronicity and that. We give each other a hug goodbye. She gets out of her car, or out of my car, goes in hers. I turn up the volume at Coast to Coast. It's always on there. And you're talking about 11-11 and your book and synchronicity. I'm like, oh, my God, it's happened again. Another one just the other night. I'm going to give you three examples.
Sure.
Another one. The other night, the dinner news is on. A commercial comes on. It's this beautiful piece of music that I absolutely love. It's classical music. It's not a common thing. And in my head it pops up the composer, and I go, it's Debussy. I'm watching Jeopardy, as I do most nights, and what's the clue? This is the same night, like within an hour and a half. What's the clue? The music that I have just heard on this commercial that I've just closed my eyes and relished and favored, and the answer was, what is Debussy?
Huh.
Right, the composer. This is about probably 4 years ago. I was reading Angels and Demons. Dan Brown. I'm in the book where it's explaining about matter and antimatter, and then that the scientist man, he creates antimatter, and his daughter creates the cylinder that the antimatter has to be stored in with the negative polarizing magnets, and in this cylinder, right? I close the book, I turn off my light, turn on Coast to Coast as I do every night, and you had a guest on, and what is she talking about immediately? It's like straight into it. Matter, antimatter, creating this cylinder, having to store it in there, and the opposite magnets.
You can't get away from the synchronicity, Kathleen.
I know. Is it not? I mean, these things are so obscure and so rare, and they just keep coming, and it's just, like, unbelievable. But to me, what they are, I call them demonstrations. And I feel that they're demonstrations in the power of my thoughts and my words and the emotions that are back those things.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And obviously, you're very intuitive. You're very connected. You're not one of those people who's going to only have an event happen every now and then. It sounds like, you know, there. And again, I refer to singing. Everybody can sing, but not everybody can sing well. It's almost like a talent, and you've obviously developed it a lot more so than other people. You're aware of these things happening all the time, so more of them are going to happen to you.
So true, so true. The name of the work by Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman, 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. When we come right back, who's behind the secret door?